So that was very good, guys. Well done. So the Christmas story, it's one of the most well-known stories on earth. I mean, ask anyone in the street, either Christian or not, and they'll probably know the general gist of this story, or at least the characters. I mean, there was Joseph and Mary, and there was Jesus. Sorry, one second. Okay, sorry. So he was. I mean, he was born in a stable. There was a star. There was angels. And this story has been told time and time again, and for a good reason. It's a beautiful story. But it's so easy to look lightly upon this story. It's so easy to be in your merry Christmas mood and think, just sweet little baby Jesus. It's a nice little fairy tale, and the truth is that it's so much deeper than that. It goes so far beyond this beautiful birth in Bethlehem. We must understand the magnitude of this event. We must come to the realization of the tragedy later on in Jesus's life. And that's actually what brings us closer to God. That's what brings us to the foot of the cross. And it might make you feel uncomfortable, but unfortunately, repentance and reconciliation with the Lord is not always something that is comfortable. It's uncomfortable to deny yourself. It's uncomfortable to deny your way of life and your way of doing things to follow Jesus, this little baby who was going to grow up with a purpose and a mission that God had set for him. Now, don't get me wrong, Jesus and the birth of Jesus is something to celebrate. It's something to be so joyful about. But we can't just look through this narrow lens of his birth. We've got to see the bigger picture. It wasn't Jesus was born, the end. It was Jesus was born. He had a mission from God. He fulfilled his mission. He died on a cross and he resurrected. And before I start, I just want you to know that this isn't just a general story that you can take anything from. It's not a pick and choose. I like this bit, I don't like this bit. This story is absolutely, utterly, and in its entirety, personal to you in your life. So I have four sections to this talk. Four P's. Pick the fruit, perceive the pattern, paint the blood, and pay the cost. Section one is pick the fruit. So let's start at Genesis in the garden, God's beautiful and perfect garden. I'm going to read from Genesis 1, verses 27 to 31 and 2:16. Okay, Genesis 1, 27 to 31. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it will be yours for food. And all the beasts of the earth and the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded them, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden." Right from the start, we can see God's heart for his people. God created this incredible, beautiful place for the two humans that he'd created, Adam and Eve, to rule over. They had everything they needed and they had the freedom. But God gave them one instruction, Genesis 2:17, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." One selfish act, two bites of the fruit, sin, suffering, and separation from God entered into God's beautiful creation. Now we can sit here and say to ourselves today, if only Adam and Eve didn't listen to that stupid snake and take a bite from that fruit, then we'd be in a better place now. But the reality is that we actually pick from that tree and listen to that stupid snake a lot in our lives ourselves. Unfortunately, the potency of sin is so strong that it's been passed down from Adam and Eve all the way to us. As soon as sin entered the world, baby Jesus had to come. Where are you still reaching for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in your life? Where are you still falling for the schemes of the snake? Where are you still trusting your own judgment over God's judgment? The unfortunate and tough to swallow reality is every time you've picked that fruit, listen to the snake, the deserved punishment of your sin has gone on to the future of this little baby. And it was put onto him just so that you could have a relationship with God. Before I move on, I want to read three verses very quickly. Genesis 3, 6-7 and verse 21. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Okay, I want you to hold on to those verses because we're going to come back to them later. Section 2, picture the pattern. Let's fast forward many generations to Abraham, who's been blessed with his son Isaac from his wife Sarah. Now we know that faith isn't faith until it's tested. So God tests Abraham. Let's read from Genesis 22, 1-3 and 9-13. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. And verses 9 to 13. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it, and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. God sends a ram in the place of Abraham's son. Now this wasn't supposed to be an intended punishment for Abraham, but a test of his faith. But from this, we can see how much God values human life, how much he doesn't want his children to suffer, and he doesn't want separation from, he didn't want Isaac to be separated from his earthly father. Now I want us to rewind back to Abel and Cain. It might seem like I'm jumping about a bit, but just try your best to follow, because in the end, it all makes sense. A bit of context, if you don't know, Cain and Abel are the sons of Adam and Eve after they were kicked out of the garden. Have you ever wondered why Cain's offer was rejected and Abel's offer was accepted? Well, God never explicitly says from Genesis 4, but we have some clues. Verses 3 and 4 say that Cain brought some fruits from the soil. It doesn't say that they were first fruits. It just says some fruits. Abel, on the other hand, bought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flocks, the richest and most valuable part of his flock. By the sounds of it, Abel's offer was wholehearted, but Cain's offer seemed to be half-hearted. Abel tended the sheep and he offered a lamb, but Cain only offered the work of his hands. Section 3, paint the blood. Finally, let's fast forward to Egypt, where many generations later, God's chosen people, the Israelites, were suffering under slavery. Humanity is still sinning and impatient, but God is still faithful and patient because he loves his people so dearly. God appoints Moses and gives him the words to speak. In the context for this, God is making a way for his people to escape from Egypt so that they can make their way to the promised land. So I'm going to read from Exodus 12, 5 to 7 and 12 to 13. The animals you choose must be year old males without defect, and you can take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. And then verses 12 to 13. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the households where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So, the blood of the lamb is covering man again. The penalty of ignoring the fact that the Lord is God and sinning against him is death. The houses that were covered in the blood were the only ones escaping that punishment. Section 4, pay the cost. Right, so what have we got so far? Adam and Eve ignored God's instruction, listened to themselves and listened to the snake, and got kicked out of the garden. A ram was sent as a substitute for Isaac when Abraham was going to sacrifice him to the Lord. Abel's offer of an innocent lamb was accepted, but Cain's offer of the work of his hands was rejected. And the only way that the Israelites could avoid the angel of death was painting the blood of a lamb or goat on their doorposts. Now, before we get to Jesus, we must understand where he fits into this. So here goes. The Bible states multiple times that the wages for sin is death. It also says that we can't be forgiven without the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We know that God is a righteous judge. Psalm 9:8 says, he rules the world in righteousness and judges the people in equity. We know that God is true to his word. Joshua 21:45 says, not one of all of the Lord's promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. And 2 Timothy 2:13 says, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So let's put these pieces together. If we are sinners, which we are, that means that we are destined for death unless we can be forgiven. The good news is that we can be forgiven. The bad news is there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. We know that God is a righteous judge who is true to his word, and that there is no way around the problem of sin without punishment. However, we know that God is good and he desires so strongly to be with the people that he created. Now, what's the solution to this problem? Well, animal sacrifices were used in the Old Testament, but unfortunately, they were only a partial payment that people could offer. As soon as they became unclean again, then they just had to repeat the process. God wanted to end the power of sin in people's lives completely. And in order to do that, someone perfect, blameless, and holy needs to be sacrificed on our behalf. They have to be holy, perfect, and blameless because God can have nothing to do with unholiness and imperfection. So let's hit the recap button and see what God was doing through his word in the Old Testament. Starting at Adam and Eve. Remember those verses that we read earlier? About Adam and Eve trying to cover themselves with fig leaves, but God covers them with skins. Well, the original Hebrew word used in the text for skins normally refers to animal hide. Therefore, it's most likely that these were animal skins. So Adam and Eve's own attempts at covering themselves was insufficient. But God providing covering through the death of another was sufficient. What could that be pointing towards? Remember, Cain's offer was rejected and Abel's offer was accepted by the Lord. God accepts the blood, but not the work of a man's own hands. And Abel gets killed for his righteous act. Does that sound familiar to you? What about Abraham on the mountain? He was told to sacrifice his only son. And his son carried the wood for his own sacrifice, and he carried it up a mountain. Does that ring bells? And Passover in Egypt with the painting of the blood, the Israelites sacrificed a lamb and covered their houses in the blood so that they could be free from death. So what does this point towards? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb to cover the sins of man. Jesus was the accepted sacrifice so that God and sinners could be reconciled. Jesus walked up the hill carrying the wood that he was going to be nailed to, and his blood is what sets us free from sin and death. Jesus is the one way to have a true relationship with God. Nobody can come to the Father except through Christ. So let me finish with this question. Where are you at this Christmas story? Are you sitting at a distance, smiling at this so seeming fairy tale? Or are you right by Jesus in oneness with him, understanding the significance of this life-changing birth? Don't forget this Christmas that Christ came with a purpose. It wasn't just the narrow lens of his birth. It was his birth, his mission from God, his death on a cross, and his resurrection so that you could be reconciled to him. So I just want to pray to finish us. So if you would close your eyes and pray with me. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate your coming this Christmas. Thank you so much for just coming with a purpose, sacrificing your life on our behalf so that we could be reconciled with God. Thank you for how dearly you love us. And I pray this Christmas that we would not just remember your birth, but remember your whole life and the reason that you came. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.